other line is John Walker right
I
now.
I love him. Is he? Where is he? Oh, are you, John?
I'm here.
John, I must apologise about our Sid today, but we have a few jars before we go on the show, and I think he mixed you up with the Bee Gees for a second.
Ah, well, at least that's good company.
Hey, it's good to have you on, John. Nice to speak to you. And do you know something? We have been a fan. I was saying to Gary last night, we've been a fan here in Europe of the Walker Brothers then and now. And it's such a pity that we can't get Scott together and the Royal Albert Hall, Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. I think it would be a sellout for a week.
Well, that may be, but Scott's off in another direction these days, so there you have it.
You don't think it would happen, no?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
But you have a huge fan base, John. I'm just noticing on the internet, and we got internet, and we had a lot of mail in today from different people in UK especially, who said they enjoyed listening to Gary last night and looking forward to listening to you this evening.
Ah. Well, you see, I guess we, in the early days, I guess we made quite an impact, and it seems to be lasting. That's a nice thing.
Sure. Well, it was good music, and I think that was the bottom line here, John. John Walker on the line. I'm going to call you John Walker, if that's okay, because we're doing a sort of tribute to your early music. And maybe we can get some of your later music sent over to us here, and we can start covering that as well.
That would be a good idea. I'm just finishing up a new CD. I'm in the process of mastering, which is like you want to tear yours. It's one of those things.
Sure.
That's the one part about recording that I think is probably the most tedious. But, you know, I'm kind of in the process of doing that, and hopefully we'll have that CD ready for release towards the end of this year.
Well, John, I was looking at your bio. Interesting, you could have made it as a sports star, but at the age of 11, I believe, you did your leg in, and therefore you had to take another course. And I think that we might never have had the Walker Brothers had you not done your knee in.
No, I thought that probably was true. I was quite a decent baseball player as a kid, you know. And the local teams always sent out scouts very early on.
Uh-huh.
And I evidently had potential. So that's where I was going. But, you know, I used to like to play American football, and a lot of people think that game isn't rough. Well, it's rough. And I played this game of football and got in a very, shall we say, I met a very large fellow who managed to put me pretty much in the hospital for almost 6 months.
6 months? Wow, that was hell
of
a day.
Yeah, well, I was immobile for 6 months, wow. Let's put it that way.
But music took over then. You were an accomplished musician. You could play guitar, saxophone, clarinet, violin, to go on and on. And your sister, Judy, spent quite a lot of time with you on stage forming several bands. It's incredible to think about this, John. You think back to your hometown where you were born. Brought up in, I think, New York, and you think of, was it New York you were brought up or California?
Well, I was actually brought up in California. I was born in New York.
Yeah, and you were born with these great looks, because I remember in England you were like a male model. They, I'm not gay or anything. I'm just telling you that now. Don't get carried away, you know. But you are a very good. You were sort of the good-looking one of the band, although Scott thinks he is, but he's not listening now, so we can talk about it truthfully. Did you get most of? Tell me this, John. Between you and me, did you get most of the women then? Tell me. Go
well,
on.
Let me put it to you this way. I was reasonably popular.
You were very popular. You were very and Gary, you said the three of you were very popular, I think. It's fair to say, because you all had your certain attributes, but you're quite tall, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And you know what the girls say about... Anyway. So you formed your band, Judy and the Gents. That sounds a good name. John and the Judy Four. And you were going around doing your bits and pieces. When did you meet up with Scott and Gary then?
Well, we were playing... Scott joined the band when we were playing in a place called Pandora's Box, which is a little Hollywood night spot, and bands would come in, you know, as guest artists. And Scott was playing in a band called The Routers, which was a surf band at the time, and they were like the guest band for that weekend. And they came in and played, and Scott called me the following Monday, and he said, "I can't stand the surf music anymore. Can I join your band?" And I had a terrible bass player at the time, so I said, sure. And so then Scott joined us, and then we worked together for quite a while. And then we split up, and I think I went to Hawaii or someplace like that, I can't remember. And Scott didn't want to go, so he stayed here. And then the next thing that happened was we got together with Al Schneider, and his nickname is Tiny. And Tiny and Scott and I actually formed the Walker Brothers Trio.
Why did you call them the Walker Brothers?
Well, I always used the name John Walker. I've used that name since I was about 16, 17 years old.
You were the tallest, so we wouldn't want to argue with you, would we?
Well, it sounded right. Yeah. I mean, you know, of all the last names, the Walker brothers sounded the best.
The Mouse brothers. What's your family name? Mouse? Is it Mouse?
Well, it's actually Moss, but it's always pronounced, as you pronounce it, it's either Mouse, Mess, whatever.
You could have been Moss Bros. Yeah, okay.
There was too many mispronunciations, so Walker was easier. Okay.
And the Engel brothers wouldn't have worked either, would it, really?
No, the Tiny brothers wouldn't have worked.
And Tiny certainly wouldn't have worked. So we're happy the Walker. So you called yourself the Walker brothers then. So keep going, because there's a lovely history, this.
Well, then what happened was we got the job in Gazaris. We'd been playing in Gazaris for a long time, and then that was about the time of the British invasion. You know, it was about 63, 64 we were there. And Scott and I had kind of planned to go over and see what was going on in England anyway, because we were curious. But Gary came in one night, and I mean, we were a blues band. We played blues and rock and roll. You know, we were one of those groups. Mm. We were always getting after it a bit. And Gary came in, and he said, "Why don't you guys go to England?" He said, "I just came back with PJ Proby, and it's like all happening over there, and you ought to just go over there and at least check it out." And so we did. And to be honest with you, not really expecting anything. And we just recorded Love Her. And the thing about Love Her was kind of like, it was a departure from anything we'd ever done. And the fellow, Jack Nitzsche, did the arrangement. And, you know, Jack used to work with Phil Spector. And Nick Vinay was the producer. And, you know, and we just made this big, massive record out of this very little song called Love Her. And the funny part about it was we didn't realize that the record company in America had planned to send it to the record company in England while we were here, mm-hmm. or there.
There is a wall of sound. Yeah, there is a wall of sound there, a bit of Phil Spector type of wall in it.
Yeah. Well, everybody in those days, it was the thing. I mean, Sonny Bono and, you know, even Brian Wilson, everybody was trying to make records as big as they could make them. You know, it's how much can we get on the tape? And of course, Phil used to go really nuts, you know, the 370 overdubs. But we didn't go quite that nuts. We were still trying to maintain the integrity of the orchestra somehow.
How did you find England? I don't mean by jumping on a plane, but I mean, how did you find it? I mean, it was really happening then, the Bag of Nails and Tiles, and all the clubs. You must have been, and you used to dress in that lovely Beau Brummel and stuff, and women hanging out of your legs. How did you find it then? You must have loved every second of it.
Oh, it was terrific. Are you kidding? I mean, you know, to start, once I got over the difference in the culture, I mean, the culture shock was, for me, was like, my God, you know, I was a surfer from, you know, California, and I, you know, I used to hang out at the beach. I was one of those guys. And so I get to England and forget the beach, right? And it was cold, and I thought, my God, you know, this is really weird. And the funny part about it is, I probably, after a year or so, I became more attached to England than I was to any place in the world. It just became like, just my home.
What did your family think of all this?
Well, they just kind of, you know, they always look at you and they don't really know what's going on.
Hmm.
And of course, my family never saw us, and they never came over, which was kind of disappointing.
Did they not see you on television? I forgot to ask this last night, Gary, but did you have hits on television, hits in America?
Oh, yeah, we had two. Make It Easy on Yourself and Sun Ain't Gonna Shine were both hits here.
Mm.
And they did show some television, you know, some stuff. But pretty basically speaking, once we left America, we kind of, like, left America.
Yeah.
We didn't come back and play, and we didn't really do anything. We never did anything in America. It seemed like we were always too busy in Europe or somewhere.
This seems like
in Australia, Japan, or on the continent someplace.
Sometimes. Tell me, this might be a pertinent question. You don't ask it, John, but looking back to a lot of big groups and singers of the 60s who didn't, did you make a lot of money out of the Walker Brothers?
Not particularly, because, you know, I mean, you think about it, if you think about it logically, it was the financial climate more than anything. I mean, let's face it, we made a decent living, but you didn't, there wasn't like the millions of dollars that's involved today, because on our last tour, that was Jimi Hendrix, Cat Stevens, Engelbert Humperdinck, I believe, and ourselves, and the top price was 17 and 6.
Okay, we have some Adidas things. We have a caller on the line, John. I'm probably a Walker fan. Good evening. Who's on the line?
Chrissy.
Hiya, Chrissy. Hi. John Walker on the line.
Hi, John.
Hi, Chrissy.
My name's Chrissy, and I saw you in 1963 when I was 15. You were playing at a little town called Kidderminster Town Hall, and all the girls were wild over you because you were the best looking in the band.
He was.
And they pulled you off the stage. And I thought, I've got to touch John Walker, I've got to touch him. I ran over and touched you, and as I touched you, the bouncer hit me in the eye, and I had a beautiful black eye. And I remember this ever since, and I've always...
Yeah, but you know, remember Chrissy, John's been after you ever since because he didn't want you to touch him when you touched him. That's what the thing was.
Anyway, you were great, and you're still great.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, there you are. Fans still, they are. Might be a little older now, John.
Well, do you know, it's kind of fun now because I did a tour a couple of years back, and we pretty much played as much of England as possible. And I got to speak to people who came to see us, you know, in the 60s, and they all said, you know, I've been waiting 40 years just to say hello to you.
Wow. I actually, I watched Donny Osmond did the tour last year, I think, of England, and they were literally queuing outside the hall just to see him and saying things like that. They hadn't, you know, they've been fans since they were kids, and now he's coming around again. And I think people love to see people like you. So that's why I said at the beginning of the interview, I don't know what the big fallout with Scott is, but it would be so good for all three of you, and it would be your pension, I think, as well.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, Scott's really off in left field these days, and he's been heading that way for the last 10 years and 15 years, and he's basically, I think he has a fan base that likes what he's doing, and I don't think he would like to disappoint them. I think that's the main
Yeah, but a one-off tour. Tell me, do you keep in touch with Scott at all?
He's very, very quiet. I haven't spoken to Scott probably for 6 years.
Wow. But you do keep it. You and Gary are sort of close, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we always hung out. You know, I mean, we hang out because he and I are sort of like, you know, I've never had a problem with playing live or doing any of that kind of stuff. I mean, to me, that's what I got in the music business for, because I enjoy playing, I enjoy entertaining people. You know, and I've kind of signed up for the whole deal. You know, I like it when people come up, they want my autograph, and they want to say hello, and they recognize me in the street. I enjoy that because that's how I am. That's my makeup. And you know, it's like if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't have been involved in music,
sure.
And I certainly wouldn't carry on.
Did you ever play Las Vegas?
You know what? I've never played Las Vegas. My sister played Las Vegas with one of her bands, but I never played Las Vegas.
Wow. It's amazing that the Walker Brothers never played the stage of Las Vegas.
I know. It's kind of, you know, I mean, there you have it. There's these really kind of ironies actually, I've never played any place in America outside of Gazzari's and a few of the clubs. I mean, you know, just basically the clubs in Hollywood and places like that.
Wow. So you're probably a lot more famous in England, I suppose, if they had a sign.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely.
They had a sign up saying the Walker Brothers, you'd have a sold-out house, I'm sure of that.
I'm quite, well, I mean, you know, the tour I was on last, in 2004 sold out, so. No. And that was the first live appearances in 25 years for me, and that was kind of like really exciting.
Well, listen, John, it's great to have you on the show. It's been a great honor and a great pleasure for us to have you here in Europe this evening on the radio. Your website now, could you give out the website? It's a very good website.
Yeah, it's my website is www.john-walker.org.
It's a very good site, and we thank you for putting us on today, and I hope that your fans around the world who are listening on the internet now, John, if you'd like to say hello to them, I know that you've got a very loyal fan base. As you know, when you toured England 2 years ago, the sellout shows are everywhere. If you'd like to say hello to them, I'm sure they'd be delighted.
Well, I'd like to say hello to everybody who's listening today, and you know, keep the faith, and we're working on another tour. We're going to get over to the UK hopefully towards the end of this year or the beginning of the next year, but we're definitely, you know, we're working on making that happen. And there's going to be a new CD out, so be looking for that, and there'll be all kinds of news about that on my website and all that kind of stuff.
Brilliant. John Walker, thanks for joining us. I'm going out with a song now, a favorite Walker Brothers song, and I think it'll be your personal theme, called No Regrets.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, John.
There's no regrets. No tears, goodbye. I don't want you back.